morning. Today is Friday, September the 21st. Joining us this morning is Arcata City Manager, Karen Diemer.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good.
Another beautiful Friday morning here in Humboldt County.
You say it with the passion of someone just waking up.
Yeah. Well, your studio has one of the best morning views, I think, in Humboldt County, actually, when I come in the morning.
That's just because you're looking at Arcata Bay, right?
That's right. Yeah. I look north, of course. Do others look south?
Yeah. Instead of at the ballpark or other wonderful things that might be seen around the city hall, huh? Oh, let's see if we can... Have you ever heard of the phrase beer and Skittles? I have not.
No.
Okay, well, then we won't talk about that one either. Let's see, R, why do they say that? Is bigwig.
Bigwig.
Why do we call an important person a bigwig?
Mm-hmm.
Any idea? And he's shot in the dark.
Well, the obvious one that comes to mind is sort of the old governmental days of wearing wigs. Maybe the one with the most power had the largest wig? I'm guessing that's too simple, though.
In Great Britain, it was long the custom for all men of importance to wear special wigs. Indeed, British jurists and lawyers still wear them. So, a person of importance had a...
big wig.
And was called one. You got dangerously close there.
Yeah.
For a number counter. Oh, gee. Tom Matson was in earlier this week when we were talking about some of the paving stuff that the county is wrestling with. What has... Is it SB1?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the one that was the... The gas charge.
The gas, yeah, charges that are funding paving all over the state.
Do those dollars stay within the jurisdiction where they're generated, or do they all end up in a big pot and then the various jurisdictions then have to apply to the state, beg, borrow, steal to get anything out of that?
Yeah, it's a formula allocation. They may have parts of those funds that are competitive grants, but not that I've seen yet. So this first couple of year round, we all got a formula allocation. I can't say that it's specific to how much was spent in your jurisdiction. I think it has more to do with overall population base, but it might have a component of that. You know, gas is an interesting thing from a sales tax and tax perspective in California. One of the big discussions within local government, you've probably heard of local governments talking about where do sales tax go for things like online purchases, Amazon.coms of the world, you know, before some of the legislature stepped in to talk about how that sales tax would be distributed. Card lot gas sales, which is a huge percentage of sales now of gas in California, are of a very similar conversation in local governments. A lot of the card lot sales, that sales tax can go to the jurisdiction, which is the headquarters of the cardlock sales company.
So the business office.
Yeah.
So to speak.
Yeah. So if you've got a cardlock sales, it's very
popular. So Eureka thanks you for the cardlock that's out at Valley West.
Depending on how the companies operate them, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think it's been a larger discussion in Southern California, but it's not necessarily true that even all the sales tax that gets accounted for from gas in the state of California goes to the jurisdiction that it was actually pumped in.
So why wouldn't there be a parallel system process designed as it is in retail sales tax or bed tax? I mean, why? You certainly have got hotels that are not locally owned in Arcata.
Right.
Well, if they got shot to Texas or Tennessee or wherever they were from, why is there a distinction? Any idea?
I just think that the tax law is slowly catching up with the new practices. You know. So we're starting to see legislation developed and local governments having conversations about how to best and most fairly divide.
Is that the official phrase for whining?
Arm wrestling, you know.
Yes, local governments are having conversations, yeah.
There are some towns that really have balanced their budget on, you know, trying to attract and woo some of these either card lock or large retail sales, distributing, you know, sort of hubs into their community.
And so it's like the days of the old mega car dealer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When things shifted from the property tax to the sales tax.
Yeah.
I can't believe it's unintended consequences, though, when they put this kind of legislation through. You got to see that this is... what a possible outcome is,
yeah,
and be willing to accept it.
Yeah, the most egregious stories that I've heard are situations where, you know, a community that could be a fairly small community could attract a very, you know, large sales tax generator to their community, and they actually, you know, negotiate what that actual sales tax rate is. So that company ends up getting back a portion of that sales tax to relocate to that community, really negating all the benefits of sales tax throughout the state. So,
like a refund, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly. And still could potentially double the general fund revenue for a small community.
Yeah, right? and still win, yeah.
And still make back half their sales tax.
So why aren't more small market or small community towns and cities employing that strategy? I mean, it seems really logical, and it's not like the big boys don't get the attention from the state on so many different levels. You know, for a Laytonville or a Blue Lake or an Alturas or any of these small little Warwick,
mm-hmm.
for these small little communities, why not?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it would seem like you'd be almost you wouldn't be honoring or recognizing fiduciary responsibility if you didn't do that.
Yeah, you have to be able to attract them. So you,
well, sure.
You know, have to have a nexus to your area that they're interested in coming to. But yeah. I think a lot of small communities have had those conversations. We're still pretty rural. We haven't been real successful in that, you know, attraction up here. So,
KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 10:20. Where did I get that?
I think we're still in
there's
the
not even a one
hour.
Or a zero up there. 82339. Okay. Yeah. It's 8:23.
Good morning, Brian.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. You betcha, huh? Friday? Oh, boy. The card lock, or the concept with sales tax allocation. You know, I know there's a lot of talk about buy local and the sales tax stays here with the premium sales taxes that are put in play.
Mm-hmm.
100% stays local?
Like the local sales tax?
Yeah, yeah. Or is there still a tithing to the state on those?
No, there is no tithing to the state, and we call them actually transaction and use tax. So it's where the transaction or the use takes place. So it eliminates
point of sale.
Yeah, it's basically a point of sale. So even on items that, you know, the bulk of the sales tax or none of that sales tax would come back to the local communities, even on those sales, those transactions, those locally voted in sales tax measures, that piece of that sales tax comes back to the local community. So, you know, it's not a huge difference for Arcata, but, you know, we do bring in probably a couple $150,000 more, like, you know, on a 1%, if you looked at the equal of what we receive in what we call the Bradley Burns regular sales tax that comes to local governments versus our transaction use tax, which was locally voted on and put into place. We bring in a little bit more on that transaction.
So it's almost the same, but on one, it's what's somebody asked me, what is California sales tax? Just the state, just base, is it 7.25?
7.25.
Okay, so you net as much with your 0.25% or 0.5% as you do out of the 7%+ that goes to the state, and you get back.
We get back about 1%, yeah.
How frightening is that?
Yeah, no, it is. I know, yeah, it really does. It doubles our sales tax, our transaction use tax, and what we see in
what
the
about
state.
The gas tax?
The majority of the gas tax, I mean, the piece of the gas tax that local governments see is the sales tax portion of gas tax, right? So that's a piece. So in truth,
so it's 1% again of whatever is
whatever
total
that of the gas cost is comes back to us in sales tax. So in a small community like Arcata, to be truthful, when gas prices go up, that can offset some other losses in sales tax for us. We do get a substantial amount of our sales tax from gas sales.
I would think, particularly with the Valley West, you know, in
the interchange,
the positioning of where the gas stations are, as much as how many you have or what. Boy, so that those three things, then pretty much what, $500,000? Is that your paving budget?
We bring in about $1.3 million on our transaction and use tax, and that goes to a combination of policing services, paving, or transportation, you know, whether it's paving trails or paving roads. But we have been trying to run about a 2/3 split towards paving and a 1/3 split towards public safety based on initial input from the community at the time that that sales tax was voted on. We have a citizen oversight committee that reviews the expenditures that are in essence equivalent to the amount that that tax brings in every year to ensure to the council that the sentiment at the time that the vote was made continues through the extent of the tax. So often you'll see in Arcata that we'll pool a couple of years. So we put in about $1.1 million in paving this year. So that was about 1.5 years worth of.
So next year will be a little thin.
A little thinner. And then, you know, we try to gear up for, like, Buttermilk was a really large paving project for Arcata. So we needed close to 2 years of that, plus, you know, some ancillary projects that we do. And then we're augmented with what you brought up earlier, at least maybe before we were on air, but the SB1 funds from the state have brought in additional funds for us to do paving. So you see that around Arcata this year as well.
Where does ADA compliance dollars come from? Is that part of the paving that has to get shunted off, or are there other areas from the budget that are for that kind of project?
Yeah. It definitely comes, a lot of it comes out of the same budgetary pots of money that paving and streets come out of. So your ADA for sidewalks, ramps, parking, access around town. We also have ADA funds that, you know, we utilize within facilities or specific within parks, whether or not we can leverage grant funds to bring in, you know, any improvements to, let's take a park facility. Let's say it was built in, you know, the 1960s, which we still have a few here in Arcata. You know, we going to do a full renovation, then that site needs to be brought up to the current ADA standard. So some of that could be the city's tax general fund revenue, and some of that could be grants.
How large a percentage of that park being modernized, I don't know if parks can be modernized, but let's call it modernization. What's the trigger point where it has to be, you have to allocate all these extra dollars? Is it 5%? Is it any percent? If there's a dime of federal monies, does that automatically kick it? I mean, because I would think, let's say the real base thing, wood chips.
You can do maintenance and repair. So if you have a wood chip playground and you're replenishing wood chips every year, that's not a renovation. But if you're pulling
new
all
swings?
The equipment, if you're replacing an existing swing, just replacement repair. But if you're pulling out all the equipment and you're replacing all the equipment, or if you're deciding you're going to...
Landscaping?
Well, you could, I suppose. But, you know, if you're just doing additional planting or you're putting in a small garden bed, again, that's going to be general maintenance.
So like the community gardens and things like that are immune?
Yeah. The beds themselves, you need to have ADA access to at least one.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit DecadeOfDifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Karen Diemer. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, American Ag Credit, and REDEC. Interesting stuff, you know, how taxes go. I suppose it's interesting, Karen, the allocation, because it is such a large percentage of the budget. You know, it's a thing that I think, if there is such a thing, makes local government work for local people. Yeah, mandates, requirements, federal laws, blah, 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 compliance this and like, okay, fine. But it's what gives you the chance to have a community with personality, a difference, a distinction.
Yeah.
Why everybody's not a cookie cutter. Do you see, is there any recognition at the state that perhaps local government needs more flexibility, not less, same money? We've had this discussion with the educational community and a bunch of others that give us the funding. Tell us what we need to do. Give us the standards. Pop in every once in a while. We'll have a room, you know, we'll give you a condo over at, you know, the hotel kind of thing. So you can pop in whenever you want and spot check. But let us do our work.
Yeah.
You do your work and let's not step across that line.
That hasn't been the trend that we've seen for a lot of years coming from the state. In part because of decisions made by legislative bodies, and in large part because of ballot referendum and proposition. You know, that process in the state of California as well that starts to tie up or guarantee certain portions of the budget towards certain, particular projects.
That's really the elephant in the room, isn't it? Because we legislate by the ballot box, that it's not well thought out. Well, okay, that implies that the other is. It's not as thought out as the other is. Perhaps it's not as vetted. It's coming from a perspective. If we had truth in labeling laws applied to propositions and bonds, things would be significantly different, I would contend. It's just, it just seems like there's inefficiencies baked into the system so that we don't have the dollars being spent where it would go best or go furthest or.
The plus side of it is I think you're really trying to get what is the clear priorities of the residents and citizens in your state. The downside is it doesn't look at the picture overall. It doesn't look like your budget overall, which is the process of electing a legislative body to be able to see the entire budget and be able to allocate something that's going to balance the needs of the state, what they're hearing.
But the state then trumps the local.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, wait a minute.
Yep.
You know, and we have this, whether it's with water legislation or CEQA and all these other things that are at Coastal Commission to a certain extent. It's this big one. Okay, great. For San Diego, you may not want to. For Willow Creek, we need it.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and there doesn't seem to be that recognition of zones in a lot of this stuff or the fact that, it isn't one size fits all, and I know that's kind of hackneyed, but it seems like it's embraced also.
Well, and especially in a state as large as California with the diversity that we have in economy and geography and the rural versus the really urban settings, there are very different needs as you travel throughout the state. The one thing that the state budget process has done, I believe it's been positive, it has forced rural communities to come together to advocate as one voice. We are slowly getting more money to these regions because of work that's been done, I'd say, over the last 10 years to really combine forces with a lot of this, even the seven counties in Northern California have coming together.
Yeah, the north of 20.
Mm-hmm.
And that group is still together?
Still very active and still fighting hard to bring some of the bigger pots of money when you pass a Clean Water Act bond or, those measures up into this region and for larger regional projects that we would never be able to fund if we were just all competing without, a common interest. So that part of it's been positive.
I was going to ask if RCRC that Rex is in charge of right this year, if even that was too large. Just because, yes, it's rural, but there's so many different environments, so many different challenges that are specific to mm-hmm. pockets within that that are wildly different.
I suppose
that kind of brings it around to the whole concept of the state of Jefferson or the three state thing that I guess what a judge pulled off the ballot.
Yeah, we're not going to vote on that, at least not this year.
I wonder if we can. Is it on the ballot? I mean, can we still vote on it even though it doesn't count?
I believe it's not on the ballot. Oh. That's what I've read, but
maybe I'll write it in on the back of the ballot. Just.
Are you going to share with us how you'd vote?
Oh, you think there's any question? Can I? Is there a spot where it says yes? And then a yes with an exclamation point, and then with an expletive. Yeah.
New ballad by Brian Pabst.
Yeah.
I do have one other topic I think would be of interest to your listeners that the council just opened a discussion about on Wednesday night, and it's on safe storage of guns inside residential homes. So the state itself highly regulates, obviously, the carrying of weapons and firearms in the state of California. The one area that there is some limits to the regulation is within residential homes. So there is a state law that that requires, if you've got minors under the age of 14 within your home, that firearm would need to be on your person or in a locked safe or container or with a trigger lock on while you're in the home.
So that would allow for a nightstand in case somebody breaks in, you're not going to run
on
to the other end of the house.
On your person or within an arm's length. But there is no rules in the state of California that require guns to be locked when you leave. Let's say you don't have a minor under 14 or you don't have somebody who frequents your house who's prohibited from having a firearm. Then you can leave guns unlocked when you leave the house. You know, you're not required to have a gun safe. So the council has just started a discussion, but did provide direction for staff to bring back an ordinance that would require all guns to be locked in safe storage at a minimum if there's nobody in the house.
How much is a gun safe that would qualify for this cost?
There's a pretty big range in price.
Yeah, okay. Ballparking.
You know, for a small handgun, $70. For, you know, a large set of rifles, you know, you certainly can get up into the thousands of dollars.
Sure. Okay, so if you say a couple $100.
Yeah.
Any idea how many households in Arcata have got registered guns?
I don't. We're starting to do a little bit of that data research in terms of how many crimes have been committed with guns, how many firearms have we, removed, how many have been stolen.
I wouldn't suspect that those with guns committing crimes are going to have their safe box.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
like a lot of regulations, those that are going to comply, the 90% that are going to comply are going to comply.
Right.
You know, the 10% that have ill intention or desire with those firearms are probably not going to comply anyway.
Just curious, okay, how much are they saying that individuals who have private property have to spend, and then what's the enforcement on top of that? Is this another reach of government?
Right.
Gee, what a shocker that I would come up with that in this discussion,
huh? Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:44.
SoCal just got a whole lot closer. No, we're not talking about some big, scary geological event. It's way cooler and with much less tectonic shifting. Starting in June, flying to LA will be quicker than ever with United Airlines' new nonstop flights from Humboldt County. That's right, no stops between here and there. Ascend, descend, and you're landing, like in just a couple hours. So it's kind of like LA is just down the road a piece. So what are you waiting for? Check it out at flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:48. Final couple moments with Karen Diemer. Karen, in addition to the gun safe, I think the last time we got together was a week or so from when the drug arrest in the Bar District
mm-hmm.
was made.
Mm-hmm.
Has there been any resolution of that, any development of that, or is it still working its way through?
Well, it's working its way through, but the Alcohol Beverage Control Administrative Hearing starts on Monday. It is local up here in the Eureka area, so put on similar to any criminal court proceeding. So hopefully by the next time I'm in your studio, we'll have a resolution.
Web, I believe, is what we call it. Yeah. Inside my web, yes.
So that hearing starts next week. And we'll hopefully have a resolution to that I don't know if that administrative judge renders a decision right at the end of that, or if he or she takes time to go through evidence and renders a decision shortly thereafter.
Is there anything equivalent of a facade grant program for bars relocation? If you wanted to say, okay, we need to deconcentrate, but because we're telling you we need this, here's a pot of money to relocate and make your new place fancy.
Yeah. Do any towns
do that?
Not with public money, since redevelopment agencies have closed. Yeah, all of those facade grants really came from the redevelopment agencies. But there certainly are communities that work with areas of high concentration of bars and work to slowly try to relocate them through, you know, private-public partnerships.
Ah, the magic phrase. Mm-hmm. Well, don't whine too much to the other government folks, okay?
We just want our fair share of sales tax.
Ah, here we go again. See everybody on Monday.